This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury and welcome to Tech Talk today. We're going to be talking a little bit about open banking today. Now, what is open banking? Well, it's a secure way to give providers access to your financial information. It opens the way to new products and services that could help customers and small to medium-sized businesses get a better deal. It could also give you a more detailed understanding of your accounts and help you find new ways to make the most of your money. Get ready for a world full of apps and websites where you can choose new financial products and services from providers that are regulated. To help me understand a little bit more about this, I have on the phone line with me right now Irene Tu. She's the Director of Banking Practices for SaaS Global Industry Practices for Asia Pacific. Hi, Irene, and welcome to the show.
Hi, Richard. Hi. Lovely to join you in today's program.
You're very welcome. Now, I'm going to let the listeners in on a little secret. We've attempted to do this interview twice already, and this is our third time going over the same information. Irene, I've given a little bit of a background about what open banking is. Would your definition be any different to mine?
I think you've done pretty well in terms of definition. I guess that, you know, it would just be really helping the banks to, share the customer information securely with third party provider that's using the open application program interface, generally called as API.
Right.
So when we talk about really the third party providers, it may actually include various verticals such as insurance company, utility, fintech, or even the travel, firms. And it could be other banks, either, these common marketplace as well.
Okay. So for me to think of an example, it would be me downloading an app, and on that app, I can check things like how much I spend on my groceries, how much my health insurance is, how much my loan on my car is, as long as I have chosen to share that information with both the app and my banks. Is that correct?
Yes, absolutely. And I think you really hit on a very important element of the customer must have given the consent of the data sharing of his or her application.
Right. And is it part of this, as we know, Irene, and one of the big things that comes up in discussion is things like data privacy. Would people be concerned, or why do you think people might be concerned about things like open banking?
Why would people have a concern? I guess that's a very legitimate, question that people would ask. Because we know that in terms of our own information, it is a very private information. And we also know that they are actually, financial crime, fraudulent activities that are happening, and particularly, in the virtual, spaces.
Yeah.
So I think it's a natural thing for people to have a concern about, where their data is and how their data is being used. Therefore, I think, for any, services provider that providing these services to the customer, that they got to be a transparency, they got to be clear in terms of how the data is being used and whether that can really bring incremental values to the customer.
Okay. So let's talk about some of those values then, Irene. What would the customer and the bank get in terms of value for signing on for something like open banking?
Yes, I think like you have mentioned that certainly the open banking will actually offer tremendous opportunity for both banking business as well as other financial services provider, including even like, you know, fintech, or it could be, you know, other third-party services providers as well. And we all know that, you know, data is really the new goals in today's digital world, right? It is a new asset. So when actually banks or any other firms are actually leaning on this data, they will try to, you know, derive insights from these data, from the transactional information, from customer behavioral information, so that they could really find patterns, you know, the presence of the customer, so that they could really provide, you know, most relevant products and services to their customers.
Okay, and briefly earlier on, you mentioned to me about how the data that's collected as well can be used very quickly to help SMEs, for example, to gain a loan, perhaps, or not gain a loan. Could you explain that a little bit to me?
Oh yeah, sure. You know, as we know that traditionally, the SME business is very having a lot of difficulties in terms of assessing, you know, the finance. They often kind of associated with higher risk, you know, with insufficient credit history, sometimes could be lack of collateral, and therefore from the, you know, past statistic, we have seen that a lot of these SME loan application, you know, maybe half of that could be, you know, could actually get rejected. So not only that, I think the traditional lending process is a pretty lengthy. It's pretty, I would say, laborious. It's time-consuming. It is a pain for the banks as well, right? But more pain, I would say, to the SME business, because they're short of, you know, capital, short of, you know, liquidity for them to really, you know, expand their business.
Right.
So technology like AI, you know, we mentioned about API, you know, automation, these will achieve significantly change the sceneries as these technology being used in the banking space. So under, you know, with the AI and, you know, automation, the banks will be able to leverage, you know, all the information that they have on hand. For example, the SME that they will certainly have some deposit information with the banks. They will have some kind of, you know, cash flow, you know, information with the bank, such as transactional data, you know, of their deposit or withdrawal. So they can actually leverage on some of this information to really improve the credit assessment of the SME. And therefore, the banks will be able to extend, you know, additional loan, additional financial support to the customer. And more importantly, that, you know, in the past, typically this kind of process would take 2 to 3 weeks. But with the use of AI and automation, it can significantly shorten, you know, that turnaround time to maybe 2 to 3, you know, working days. So that's very impressive improvement on the customer side.
Let me ask you a question, though, Irene. And this is something that I've kind of thought about when we deal with things like AI and machine learning. You know, when AI makes a decision, obviously there's no emotion in that decision. It becomes a one or a zero, a yes or a no, just purely looking at data. But for example, let's imagine for a second that somebody comes into the bank for a loan and they might not have been the best person. You know, they might not have kept all of their payments up. But you know they really need this loan, and you have faith in their kind of objective. As a human being, or as a bank manager, and as somebody who might give out a loan, you might be inclined as a human being to give that person that loan. Whereas machines and artificial intelligence would simply say no. Is there a worry that we are taking away a little bit of those human decisions when we come to things like this?
You know, that's a very interesting question that Richard you have asked, right? I would think that, you know, based on the current lending process in the banks, as well as what potentially that, you know, AI machine learning could actually enhance the processes. In fact, that with the AI and machine learning and automation, it could certainly leverage on whatever the internal information the bank has about the customer, as well as some of these third-party information they collected. That this information they collected through the third-party basically gives them the incremental understanding of these, you know, I would say applicants, right, who wanted to have the loans.
Yeah.
So instead of, you know, not probably granting the, you know, the lending or the loan to the customer, with this incremental understanding of the customer's needs, as well as, you know, the maybe their potential business growth, the banks will actually be able to provide, you know, such kind of extension of financial support to the customer.
Okay, all right. On that note, let's take a quick break, Irene, and we'll come back after the break and we can talk a little bit about, you know, how we move into things like open banking and perhaps what's holding us back or perhaps what's holding some institutions back. We'll be right back after these messages. You're tuned in to Tech Talk here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Breaking Financial Matters, BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, the business station. My name is Rich Bradbury. This is Tech Talk. Today, we're talking a little bit about open banking. If you don't know what open banking is, I opened up at the beginning of the show saying that open banking is a secure way to give providers access to your financial information. It uses APIs to talk via an app to your bank and vice versa, as long as you have given it permission to do so. On the phone line to talk to me a little bit more about this and to help me understand a little bit more is Irene Chu. She is the Director of Banking Practice for SAS Global Industry Practice for Asia Pacific. She's over there in Beijing right now. Irene, how are things over there?
Oh, I have a bright, you know, sunny weather here in Beijing today.
Oh.
So I really enjoy the weather, yes.
Just before the break, we were talking about banking practices and how they evolve and things. But let's talk a little bit about scalability of vendor solutions like SAS that also deliver on regulatory requirements. What is it that SAS is doing and what is it that your involvement with the banking industry is right now in terms of open banking?
Yes, I think, Richard, you mentioned about the scalability, right? So I guess the scalability actually, large chunk of that is really to do with the fast growing of the data.
Right.
So, you know, besides that, the banks will have traditionally a lot of internal data, certainly with the fast progressing of digital, you know, development, there will be a lot of new form of data that, you know, generating as we speak, you know, there's just more and more data that is generated.
Yeah.
So when you talk about really the scalability, I would say that what we have seen that the cloud-based analytics will certainly help the banks not just to manage the scalability, but at the same time will, you know, help them to significantly bring down the total cost of ownership when they actually, you know, do these collecting data, storing data, processing data, of course, more importantly, analyzing the data to really help the business to drive, you know, their decisioning.
And this data that's being collected, how critical do you think it is for helping businesses tackle challenges and to predict future trends?
Data we have actually mentioned, I think, in the early part of, you know, the conversation, certainly that, you know, it is helping the banks to really, you know, use the advanced analytics, you know, artificial intelligence and, you know, machine learning to really help the organization to better understand the past of what's happening, as well as to use, you know, some of these algorithms to really predict the future. right? I guess everything wanted to have these capabilities together. Not you know, to mention that today we are in a search, you know, all mobile connected devices, kind of ubiquity kind of world. Certainly that, you know, the analytics, the insights that derive from the analytics will really help the bank to make a smarter decision as they actually engage their customers.
And this kind of got me thinking as well. Obviously, a couple of years ago, we couldn't have predicted what we're going through right now. And nobody could have predicted what we're going through right now. Do you think had we had more data before the pandemic, things would have been different for businesses?
More data, I guess, is always good. But we believe that, you know, data without analytics, data without really getting the insights, you know, is probably not going to really help, I would say, that the business. So again, as we actually see through, I would say that, you know, the pandemic, certainly we believe or we have seen that the pandemic has actually accelerating this digital transformation. And as these, you know, banks are actually becoming more digital, they were certainly wanted to leverage some data and analytics to help them, you know, to drive the business with much more informed and a smarter decision. At the same time, I think it's also helped them to really be in step with the regulators.
Right, right. I've got a couple more questions just before we wrap up, Irene. And for me, I'd like to know what kind of businesses do you think would benefit the most from advanced analytics and why? And if you have a couple of case studies, perhaps, that you know, of companies that have really, really been helped out by advanced analytics. Do you have a couple?
Yes, I'm going to talk one more example because I think we talk about the SME business, or we also talk a little bit on maybe the retail business.
Yeah.
In terms of the individual consumer. The next one I'm going to talk about is in the private banking. That's not maybe something that quite, you know, popularly known, but we certainly have seen increasing usage of analytics in the private banking domain as well. Mm.
My final question for you then, Irene, is if you were to give any advice for businesses moving forward, what would you advise them right now, going through what we're going through in terms of big data, advanced analytics? What would you suggest to any new company that's coming on board, whether they be an SME or whether they're something larger, in terms of data and analytics, what would you suggest that they need to be doing?
I think that's another great question, I guess, with the, you know, pressure for being digital and, you know, many businesses still trying to prepare for the next unknown, that comes. We believe, I think these are the three key imperatives. I think first, I would still say that, you know, stay focused on your customer. Really set the right vision and the strategy around, you know, your customer. Right. And as you set the strategy and, you know, vision, I guess the leaders in the business has to really redefine the business model, redefine what is really the desired outcome for your customer.
Mm.
And these will actually really, you know, help the organization to become more data-oriented, more analytics-driven, to help the business to make a faster and smarter decision. The second point I wanted to mention is really the modernization and the capabilities. So we could have wonderful visions and wonderful aspirations, but you really need to invest in the right technologies, you know, in order to deliver these kind of ambition, right? So we have talked quite a lot of, I would say that, you know, in terms of technology, like, you know, AI, machine learning, maybe the cloud computing as well, right? API automation. So with all these latest, technologies, the business could actually accelerate, you know, their learning about the market, their learning about their consumers, and as they set this capability, not just the insight, but I guess it's so important, they need to have the right execution capabilities so that the business can really focus on solving a real business problem and bring the benefit for their customers. And lastly, I wanted to mention is really with this capability, I guess innovation certainly is one of the things that, you know, many organizations are looking at, right? And bear in mind that innovation certainly is, you know, it is a continuous effort. It's not a one-time, you know, innovation. So the growth mindset, the continuous learning and experimenting some new ideas will have to become kind of new normal in the organization, just like what we have actually probably seen, you know, in the fintech or startup company.
Right.
So that would be maybe the three things I would recommend, you know, to look at.
Wonderful.
Power team.
Irene Su, Director of Banking Practice for SaaS Global Industry Practice for Asia Pacific. Thank you very much for joining me today.
Thank you.
I've been speaking with Irene from SAS. They are a leader in data analytics on how businesses can utilize advanced analytics in the emergence of open banking and digital banking models. For Tech Talk, my name is Rich Bradbury here on BFM 89.9, the Business Station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the Business Station.